Pastor Aaron Hamm, would you? Unexpected dreams. I like that. Amen. How many of you are just living a dream that you prayed for and asked God for, and he's bringing it to pass in your life? Just wave at me. Yeah, many of us are walking, talking, miracle, a dream given by God we never thought we could accomplish. We never thought we'd be around the people we are. How many of you are just thankful and grateful to be around great people in a great fellowship? I mean, I look around the room, and I had a few people come up to me this morning. I'd like to hug y'all and rub up on all of you, but I couldn't yet this morning. I'll get a few more of you. But I'm so grateful and thankful for unexpected dreams that have come to pass. And I believe with all my heart, when we're grateful for what God has done, and Pastor Erin started out that way. She said, I'm sitting in a lake. How many of you wouldn't mind sitting in a tube in a lake? Amen. We'll sit there again. And she said, I just begin to reflect on what God has done in my life. See, when you begin to reflect on the goodness of God now, he begins to reveal to you the goodness of God tomorrow. Can I get an amen in here this morning? And many of us, we need a reminder to be grateful for where we are today. I should get a better amen than that. We just need little reminders once in a while how far God has brought us along to where we are right now, because we can get caught up in circumstances and in the day, and we can, oh, Lord, where are you? When we're right in the center of our sovereign God's will. Amen. And this week, this scripture in our Bible in a Year app came to me, and God just began to nudge me in a spirit of gratitude. In Psalm 31:6, I think you know this psalm, but I'd like to read it to you. The psalm says this: give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Say it with me. Give thanks to God, to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, because his love endures forever. Thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. I want to give you three thoughts on gratitude this morning. I believe that with a heart of gratitude, a heart that says, I don't need my own way in everything, but God, I trust you in your way. I believe with a heart of gratitude, we can change the path that we've been on. God, we fall to the center of God's will when we have a heart of gratitude. Three quick thoughts on gratitude. We must choose gratitude for the blessings of God over the hurts of our past. You know, we've all been through difficulty. We've all been through pain. And you might be in that season of your life today. You might be sitting here saying, Ryan, it's hard for me to be grateful with where I am today. But if you reflect on the goodness and the grace of God in your life, all the way, in your children's lives, in your employment, in your health, when you begin to reflect not on the hurts of your past, not on the difficulties of today, but giving thanks to the Lord because he's good. It might not be good right now, but he is good in the midst of it. If you look at where God has brought you and reflect on his goodness instead of on trouble, you know, it's easy to reflect on trouble. Trouble, when you get burned on a stove, you can remember getting burned. But I think sometimes when we eat that good meal that the stove cooked, we forget about it really quick. We need to focus ourselves on the gratitude that God is asking us to have, even in difficult circumstances. When we focus on gratitude, our heart changes. You know, David, I begin to read the commentary and the background on this Psalms. David is penning this, and you know David's life wasn't perfect. We talked about it last week when the guy's all alone. He's got trouble on every corner. He begins to encourage himself and honor God in the midst of extreme difficulty. And the writer pens these words on the brink of destruction. Give thanks to the Lord. Our God is good. His love endures forever. Can I encourage you in that today? to give thanks to the Lord today? You know, the word's about to be brought forth and in the house this morning. I believe it's a word from God for this church, for this year people. And I believe with all my heart, when we receive it with gratitude, it sticks on the doors of our heart. Gratitude is a pathway for a miracle because He's sovereign. He is our salvation. He is our strength. When we reflect on the goodness of God instead of the troubles of our day, our entire life changes. And I want to just encourage someone in that today. You've been focused on the wrong thing. You've been focused on what you've lost. Can I encourage you today? You're sitting in a seat. You're breathing air. You got good people around you. You're in a great fellowship of faith to focus on the goodness of God in this place. Come on, somebody in this house. My second thought this morning is gratitude will heal you. Someone came in here today. I need this from God. I need healing in this. I need restoration in this. Anybody say that this morning on the way in here? I did. Lord, I need you to get involved in this area of my life. Can I encourage you this morning? When you live with a heart of gratitude and you make up in your mind, I'm going to be thankful no matter what the circumstances are, healing begins to take place in your heart and in your life. You want a healing this morning? Gratitude is the door to it. Gratitude is the gateway to a healing. Listen to these words by John DeWitt. Gratitude is a vaccine. Now, don't shut me off because I know some of you aren't wild about vaccines, but stay with me a minute. Gratitude is a vaccine, an antioxidant, an antiseptic. This is the most searching and true diagnosis. Gratitude can be a vaccine that prevents the invasion of a disgruntled attitude. How many of you ever had a bad attitude? As antioxidants prevent, yeah, you're laughing. As antioxidants prevent the disastrous effects of certain poisons and diseases, Thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault finding. Listen, isn't this funny, Dad? Isn't this funny? The poisons and disease, Thanksgiving destroys the poison of fault-finding and grumbling. When trouble has smitten us, a spirit of thanksgiving is a soothing antiseptic. We must find things to be grateful for because thanksgiving heals the brokenness of my life. Lastly, we are most grateful when we contribute what God has given us. Let me pause and say this, and I'm done. Some of the most unhappy, unfulfilled, grumpy, miserable people don't contribute what God gave them to. They're every person in this place. I could go around the room. I'm familiar enough with the faces. I could go around the room, and I know the gift that you have. Each of you have a gift from heaven, from God Himself. You've been given a gift. Well, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what to do. You have a gift from heaven. You have a gift from God Himself. And until you use it for His glory, until you use it for heaven's glory, until you use it for the kingdom of God's glory, you will never find the fulfillment that you could have. Sir, ma'am, you're here this morning. I'm just empty. I'm just kind of wandering. I just kind of go from thing to place to place. I'm just looking for an inspirational message. Here's your inspiration from heaven this morning. When you begin to use what God has given you for His glory, watch the peace and fulfillment flood your heart and soul. I was on a plane this week. And I hate flying, amen. I don't like the bumps. And I'm sitting there, and we're going to get on the plane, and Sam said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, no, I don't know who that is. And Andrew's quite a cook, my son Andrew. He can do it all. And he said, that's Chef so-and-so. I said, really? And he said, yeah, he's all over the TV. He's all over the news. He's huge. And he begins to show me and tell me all about him. And I get on the plane, and I sit down in the seat. And you know, we didn't pay for special seats or anything, but the guy ends up sitting behind me. And let me tell you, he wasn't thrilled with it. Amen. And he begins to have this interaction with a flight attendant. And let me just pause and say, this interaction was for me. It wasn't for him. God was speaking to me in it. And he began to get aggravated, and he was frustrated, and he was, and I want you to know, if you want me pliable, put me on a plane. I don't care what happens, as long as we land safely. Anybody else like that in here? And he began to get frustrated and aggravated and all this. And I thought to myself, you know why he's not happy? You know why he doesn't have Jesus fulfillment in his heart? Because when you go down to Skid Row in California and you see the people in the Dream Center begin to cook meals and hand out food to people who live in tents 365 days a year, let me tell you something. Your heart will be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. You want some, let me switch from him to us. You want some gratitude. You want some focus. You want divine vision for your life. Go right over to that food pantry during the week and begin to hand food out to people who can't go to Tops or Wegmans and buy it. Let me tell you something. Gratitude will fill your heart and life. You will never know God gratitude until you take the gifts God gave you from heaven and you give it away to somebody else. This morning, I want to encourage each of us. When we receive the word this morning, oh, it's just another message. It's just, you know, I just went to church again. No. With a spirit of gratitude, God, speak to my heart. Speak to my life. And if you're thinking of somebody else right now should be grateful and should be thankful, let me tell you, sir, ma'am, God's talking to you. God's speaking to your heart and your spirit. If you need a heart of gratitude, lift your hand in the house of the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for each one in this house this morning. Even the one whose heart is just filled with aggravation and frustration with other people. God, would you illuminate in their mind's eye, Father, what you have for them. Fulfillment, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd heal someone this morning through gratitude and thanksgiving. You'd heal their mind. You'd heal their emotions. You'd heal their soul in Jesus' name. We thank you that City Church is a church of gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you so much. Will you give my dad a hand as he comes?
Wow. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm grateful for you. Look at your second choice on the other side and let them feel good too. Tell them, I am grateful for you. I'm grateful for everybody watching online today. We're so thankful that you have joined us now and some that will be listening later. Can we just let our online audience know we love you? We love you all. Lord, I just want to say thank you for the next few minutes here. I thank you for everything that has been said and done so far. We give you thanks. We're so grateful to be together and to be in your house. Have your way in our hearts and in our lives, I pray today, and I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said a big amen. Pastor Ryan was talking about the food pantry. Actually, Kathy LaFanera came to me this morning, said two of her people are unable to make it this Thursday. She said, if you know of somebody that can help, please send them our way. So she doesn't need 20, she needs two or three. But if you're able to help on Thursday, they're open 11 to 1. If you got there at 10 o'clock, 10:30, that would be absolutely awesome. And then this coming Wednesday is our big food distribution at St. Anthony's. we're always looking for people to help. And I'm just so grateful for just the army of people. For we're moving towards our third year now of food, that massive food distribution. And if you've never seen it, amen, come on, let's thank God for that. If you've never seen it, you should at least show up at least one time. You know, and also our food pantry right next door, Thursdays 11 to 1, Saturdays 10 to noon. I got a call this week from a lady, and I've never heard of the organization before, but they help some of the people that come up from Mexico that work on farms. They help them get settled when they come up. And she said, I have 25 people. They have no food. And come to find out later, there was children. They had no diapers. They had no money to do anything. I asked Kathy, sent her a message. She replied, absolutely, I'll call the person. Her and Nick got together this week and made sure that 25 people that we have never seen, met, knew anything about, had food. And at the same time when they were doing that, she gets a call from our friends at All Babies Cherish, which incidentally I asked you a few weeks ago if you wanted to be a part. We sent them a check 2 weeks ago for $1,200 to All Babies Cherish. Amen. Thank God for that. She calls Kathy up at the same time they're working to help these people and said, we have an overabundant supply of diapers. Would you like some? What a blessing. Amen? Come on. It goes right with what Pastor Ryan said. Don't hold on to what God has entrusted you with. God gives it to you so you can give it away and that He will give more to you. It's the same with your finances. He's not trying to get anything from you. He just wants to get it through you. And I believe with all of my heart, we are living in a season for that. I shared in the first service, we got a check this week, the church did, from an organization in California. I have no idea who they are, where they came from. I'm looking at them thinking, should we deposit it? I asked Pastor Ryan, he said, put that thing in the bank right away. So, you know, that. And then I got a call this week from an attorney in New York City. How many of you know when an attorney from New York City calls you? And he's asking me about family and my ancestors and things. And I said, can I ask you, what's this about? He said, well, we tracked you down because you're a relative of somebody that we represent their estate, and they own property. They owned property in Brooklyn, and we can't find anybody to give it to, and we think you're the benefactor of that. Hold on, don't clap yet. You know, so they begin to tell me the people, and I said, you know, everything in me, I wanted to say, yes, that's me. Yeah, I want that property in Brooklyn. And I said, I'm sorry, you got the right name, you got just the wrong McDonald. Oh, they said, okay, well, thank you. I hung up the phone, I thought for a minute, yeah, that's too bad. But I felt the Lord speak to me right then. He said, unexpected blessings are coming your way. I believe that. Even what Pastor Aaron was talking about, floating on the lake and just being grateful and thankful that she never thought of that. There's a word I learned about a long time ago, serendipity. It's an unexpected pleasure not sought after. And that's what God wants to do with you and I. He has unexpected blessings for you that when you trust Him with your life, they come to you and you didn't even know they were on their way to you. You didn't even expect it. You didn't even know it was coming. You know, many times people, they've said to me over the years, you know, what's your 5-year plan? What's your 10-year goal? And I love goals and I love all that. But can I tell you something? The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20 that He does exceeding and abundantly above what you can ask, think, dream of. God does that. When you place your life in His hand, He will give you what you can't even imagine. He will bless you with that. And all of that I just told you, that has nothing to do with the message. Well, a little bit. That's all free to you. Come on. Do you receive that today in the name of the Lord? I want to talk to you just for a few minutes, and it's a perfect message for this Sunday. And I really didn't put this together. This was a conviction that God put on my heart that I really, this week, I realized that there was some real ugliness in me. I realized that it's so easy to point out in others what I think is wrong with them until I find out when I increase my relationship with Christ that He takes my focus off of what my ideas are of other people and He encourages me to look within. And when I look within, that's not a self-destructing attitude that I come away with, but it's a realization that instead of me thinking how everybody else should change, that maybe God wants to do a work inside of me. And I just call this message living in a judgment-free zone, because if anything that I believe God wants to work in our lives is not to live a life of criticism and judgment about everything that goes on, because when we allow that to be a part of who we are, we miss seeing who God has created us to be and what He wants for us and in our lives. And it's easy to look at others and point out what's wrong with them, but God says, wait a minute, I want you to take a look at your own life, and I want you to leave them up to me, because the same God that died for your sins also has died for their sins as well. And instead of me thinking about negatives all the time about the peripheral, and whatever that is, whatever you think that is, you know, some people, They look at policemen and they think they're bad, they think they're abusive. And then other people look at somebody wearing a BLM shirt and think that they're negative or something. And when you don't know anything sometimes about either one of the organizations, but you cast a judgment based on the lens that you look through in your own life. And God wants to change that in us. And I found myself this week being judgmental of a particular situation and thinking that I knew better than what was taking place with the people that were involved in it. And instead of me seeking to understand, I cast this judgment about them. And we do that, and people do that all the time. If I brought up a particular name, 90% of you would have this judgment about that person. If I talked about politics, there would be some people that would hate this person, other people that would love that person. And all the time, we just go through this minutia of misunderstanding and never seeking to really find out about a particular situation. And I allowed, even when I was driving in this morning, I mean, I've been going over this week, I've been on my knees, I've been asking God to change me and help me, and I think I get some traction on it, and I'm driving in to come to church today, and I drive by the Salvation Army, and this guy, and I've seen him around town before, takes this junk and throws it out in the front yard of the Salvation Army, and for a moment, I wanted to turn my car around and just say, hey, what are you doing? And, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking other things. And all of a sudden, as I'm pondering that, as I'm entertaining that thought, God just stopped me. He said, you don't have it yet, do you? And you're going to preach about it this morning. God, help me. Because I discovered that being judgmental is just a lazy verdict that you impose on people that you might not even know. It's just a lazy verdict. And the dictionary calls judgmental having or displaying an excessively critical point of view. The Greek word krisis means a sentence of condemnation and punishment. The Hebrew word for judging means to separate. And so when we participate in this attitude, we're critical, we're condemning, and we separate people. I want you to think about that. I want you to ponder that. Because Jesus says this in Matthew 7, verse 1. He said, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." Interesting story that Pastor Ryan talked about of the guy riding behind him being critical, being just argumentative, and yet God has blessed the man in particular ways. But is it helping? Is it doing anything? And here's where I was, and maybe some of you are as well, in verse 3. He said, "Why do you look at the speck in other people's eyes, and you pay no attention to the plank?" Couldn't Jesus have been just a little kinder there? He said, you're looking at a speck and you're being judgmental in somebody else's eye, but he said, you're not even looking or considering not the speck that's in your eye, but because you're critical and judgmental, he refers to it as a plank in your eye. He said, how can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," or say, "Well, if it was me, I would have done it this way," or "I can't believe how they act," or "I can't believe that she said this or he did that." And all the time, there's a plank in your own eye. Jesus says, he uses the word, "You hypocrite." You hypocrites is the Greek word. It means a stage player or a pretender. He said, you pretender, you hypocrite, take the plank out of your own eye and you'll see clearly to help the speck in your brother's eye. But until you do that, you will never see clearly. You will always look through these clouded lenses. Every time I preach, I always ask my wife. She's my benchmark. She tell me the truth. I said, "Honey, did I do okay?" She goes, "Oh, honey, that was great. In fact, I was under conviction because I felt that way just today." And Jesus, he wants you and I to trust him in these areas of our lives. Because the less time you spend with the truth, the easier it is for you to believe lies. Did you see that? Did you hear that? The less time you spend with the truth, the easier it is for you to believe lies. And this is where God wants to deal in my heart, I know, and maybe in somebody's heart here as well, that when you spend time with the truth, Jesus is the truth. The Bible says in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make and set you free." Set you free from the effects of being judgmental. Set you free from that critical attitude. Set you free from the one that separates and condemns. Set you free from trying to fix what you think is wrong in everybody else. And Jesus said, remember it, he said, because the same way you measure out will be the same way it's measured to you. When your language is, "I'd never do it that way," or when your language is, "What's wrong with that person? Why are they like that?" I always used to think about my own dad. Why did he act that way? Until I found out somebody that knew his dad and said his dad was worse than my dad, which I can't even imagine. Why would my dad say the things that he said? Why would he act? Never knowing that he never had this encounter with Jesus to set him free and to clean his heart, and he just mimicked what he was exposed to in his own life. That's why it's so important for you and I to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and to be in the house of the Lord. Because although the church might not have everything right, it's got a whole lot more right than it has ever had wrong. When you say things, when somebody apologizes to you, when you say and you respond, well, you really didn't mean that. And when you do that, that becomes a portion in your own life. And you step into the sacred ground and you become, what I heard somebody say, the fourth person in the Trinity. You become like God Himself, the judge. And this tears homes and relationships apart. You know, Patty and I are going to be married in December, 45 years. There's been times when she said, I'm sorry, and I've said right back to her, I don't believe you're sorry. Critical, judgmental, tearing apart, separating, condemning. And let me insert this about being critical. Critical is different than just being judgmental. Judgmental. Critical is taking notes of the merits and flaws in a situation or a person. But being judgmental is being critical and coming to an emotional decision that you are right no matter what's happening. And why do we do this? Maybe criticizing is a mask for our own insecurities, our jealousies, or our envies. Maybe being judgmental is that I'm guilty of what I'm trying to pass judgment on. I'm always trying maybe to cover up something in me. I remember Patty's grandfather on her mother's side. He'd tell everybody, if they talk about people, they say, yeah, he's a drunk. Oh, that person's nothing but a... Everybody was a drunk, and I never even knew. He was the guy. He was the guy that struggled with it. Yet he said everybody else had this problem, just trying to cover up who he really was. Maybe I have an inaccurate view of how God sees me. Maybe I think that I just exist for Him to judge me and to be critical of me, which could, nothing could be further from the truth. He loves you. He cares for you. And He wants to do good for you. I read this story about Pastor Chuck Swindoll, who I fondly say was one of my Bible school mentors when I was growing up in the cow barn. I'd listened to 8 hours of Christian teaching per day for years in the barn. That's where I got much of my foundation. Part of that is from Chuck Swindoll, and he was preaching at an event in California, a week-long event, and this man came up to him at the beginning of the meetings and approached him and told him how much he was looking forward to hearing Pastor Chuck preach, and they shook hands and went their way. And as Pastor Chuck got up, he looked down in the front row, sat this man who came to him, telling him how excited he was to hear him preach. And as he looked over in a few more minutes, he saw the man sound asleep. The second night came, here comes the man, sat almost in the same spot. Pastor Chuck begins to preach, looks down, the man's conked out, asleep again. Third, fourth night happens the same thing. Comes the fifth night, and Pastor Chuck is going to go and see him and just say, you know, he's getting a little frustrated with the guy. First, the guy comes up and says, I can't wait to hear you speak. And then he not only sits, he not only falls asleep, he's got to do it in the front row. And Pastor Chuck, like any other preacher, and if you sleep on me, I'm going to feel the same way. He's going to go to him and say, what's up? But before he does it, the man's wife came up to him. He said to him, I'm so sorry that my husband has been sleeping through all of your messages. He's recently been diagnosed with cancer, and he's receiving chemotherapy. And his last wishes before he left this earth was to make sure that he went to one of your meetings and sat on the front row to hear you preach. And Pastor Chuck had this huge paradigm shift in that very moment. Because when you allow your mind to run crazy with a story against someone else's actions and words, you end up living a life of distrust for everything and everybody. Because your mind will believe everything you tell it. Hear me now, listen to me. And I know I'm saying this, and I'll leave, And some of you won't budge a bit off of this because you think still when you hear this, and I've humbly stood here to tell you my ugliness in this, you will sit where you are and you'll think, well, I'm still right. And God has brought you here today, and also maybe for some watching online today, not to be made to feel bad, but to move off of that. So you're not the judge and jury of the world, but you are here to be a source for somebody else, an answer for somebody else, not a judge for them. And so how can I be better at this? Well, first, I need to just seek to understand. When I understand people and I understand their circumstances before anything else comes out of my mouth or my mind, life will be different and be better for me. The Bible says in John 7:24, stop judging just by mere appearances, but instead learn to judge correctly. Learn to understand. Seek to understand. Be open to the idea that maybe your perspective doesn't show you the entire picture. The Bible says in James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give you generously without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. Learn, second, to live to accept. Accept that God is working in everyone's life for the better. And listen, even yours. Even your life. Maybe God's trying to teach you something through this whole experience and trying to understand for your own life, why is it difficult for me to see any different? And then you have to learn to live to love. This is so important. The world needs our love and kindness more than it needs simply your opinion. And God loves us all deeply. And the best way to combat a judgmental and a critical heart is to embrace God's love and the love that he would give to others. The Bible says in John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And listen to this, look at it up on the screen. By this, not by a lot of stuff. I hear all these phrases and words that are going around in the church today that describe this move of God. Let me tell you something. You want to know what a move of God? You want to know what real renewal is and real revival is? It's not a bunch of Christians running around and jumping up and down and acting, you know, crazy. It's when you love one another as Christ has loved you. And when you do that, and when I do that, by this will all men know you are my disciples. By the not holding up signs. By loving people that are hard to love. 1 Corinthians 13:7, I love the Passion Translation, says, love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Never. Never. Who's ever going to come up and play Pete? If you're here, Malachi, you both come up. I'm going to be done just in a minute. Judgment, a judgmental person disbelieves everything. But the believer believes the best in everyone. I read this story about our third president, Thomas Jefferson. He was in this group of men riding horses, about 15 of them in total, and they were moving from one place to another, and they came up on this river that had been washed out, and there was a man standing there, needing to get to the other side. His family's there. He couldn't get over. And all these men came up, and President Jefferson was one of them. And he looked at all of them, and he looks at President Jefferson, and he said, will you give me a ride across? And the president looks at, says, absolutely. Takes his hand, helps him up on the back of his horse. The man holds on to the third president as they go across these raging waters, gets to the other side. All the rest of the men slides off the back of the horse, and one of the men in the entourage asks the man who rode across on the president's horse, he said, Why did you pick the president to ask if he would take you across? And the man said, oh my gosh, I'm sorry, I never even knew he was the president. I had no idea. And then the man asked him again, but why did you choose him and you didn't choose anybody else? He said, because I looked at all of your faces and you all had a face that said no. He was the only one that had a yes face. My brothers and my sisters, today, I want to have a yes face on my life. When people encounter me, I don't want them to look at me like I'm judging them, I'm critical about them, like I'm going to tell them no about everything that they think or they want to do. I want people to look at me and say, that man says yes, that man says believes in me, that man says I can do and be everything God has called me to be. I want people to look at me in their darkest moments and see light of God in my life. I want people to look at me and say, I believe God can do anything. I want people to look at me and sense and see a love for them that they have found nowhere else. I want to have that yes face, not judgmental, not critical, not hateful. I want to believe the best for everyone. And then my last point, listen to this. Don't make one everyone. Just because you've been hurt by somebody, not everybody's going to hurt you. Just because you had a spouse maybe walk out on you, it doesn't mean that God doesn't have somebody that will stay with you and live life with you forever afterwards. Just because maybe you got hurt in a church doesn't mean every church is bad. Maybe a doctor didn't diagnose you right. Doesn't mean all doctors are bad. Don't make one everyone. And I've learned that when I really embrace a heart, just as Pastor Ryan said this morning, and we didn't talk about the message at all, a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, my life changes. Instead of getting up and just being critical and judgmental, get up in the morning and give God glory. When you drink water or eat food, remember to give him thanks. When you feel inadequate or unable, instead of complaining, get up and praise the living God. And not just in times when everything is going good. I'm talking about praising him when you're up against it, when you don't know how you're going to get through another day, when you want to be critical about everything. I shouldn't have it that way. This should be happening to me. Why is this happening to me? Right in the middle of that, you stand up and you say, God, I thank you. I want to say, praise you, God. I praise you. I give you thanks because you've been good to me, Lord. I thank you that the blessings of God are going to overtake me. And when you do that, criticism leaves. Judgment begins to leave out of your mouth. And all of the negativity and the junk that brings with it into your life begins to leave, because now your life is fixated on the power and the love of a risen Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And we need to love him like we've never loved him before. Come on, do you receive it today? Pastor Ryan, come on up and close. Close your eyes, bow your head this morning. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've been critical of Christians. Oh, those Christians, they're all this way or they're all that way. God wants to help you today. You need to give your life first to Jesus Christ. You can do that whether you're here in-house or you're out watching online. Just ask him, say, Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I ask you to be my Savior, and I ask you to be my Lord. Father, for those who have done that, that are here, that are watching online, I pray your hand to be upon them now. I pray, Lord, that you would rescue those who are bound with this judgmental and critical spirit that would limit them from being everything you have called them to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
There's an old song that says this. And now Let the weak say I am strong. Let the poor say I am rich. You know it. Sing it with me. Because of what the Lord hath done for us, give thanks. I pray that over this house, over this people, and over this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord one more praise this morning? We're so glad you were with us. Those of you watching at home, God bless you. We love you so much. Have a great day.